Welcome to the Superpower Success Podcast. At Keystone, we believe exceptional organizations don't just happen. They are built by focused leaders that recognize their authentic leadership superpowers. Join us for a serious dose of inspiration. Welcome to another edition of the Superpower Success Podcast. So I have a special guest for me today. It's someone you've heard from before, Chelsea Paulson, who is a leader on my team and is really a thought leader in our community around all things culture, all things leadership. So today we're going to talk about happiness. Now, before you shut the podcast off because you're worried about this being fluffy and like, oh my gosh, what are they going to talk about? For those of you who don't know Chelsea and I, this is a zero fluff zone because Chelsea and I don't roll like that. This is going to be very practical and very real and applicable. And it's not, I think when we hear the word happiness, we think it's like, oh, I had a great day and it's all hold hands and kumbaya. Like, that's not the kind of happiness that we're going to talk about today, right? It's a much deeper depth. It's helping leaders understand how to invest time in their own development and in their own energy. And much of that comes from our mindset around how we're feeling. And happiness is a big piece of that. So before we get into this, I want to just share the difference, and this is Jamie's perspective, on the difference between being happy and happiness, because I think there's a really big difference and most of us lump those together. So feeling happy is a momentary thing. It's an event. It's a time frame. It means I have a great meal and that meal just makes me feel happy. I have a great interaction with my kids, or I have a great vacation. Those can make you feel happy. Getting a new car. Things can make you feel happy. What those can't provide is happiness, because happiness is not an event. Happiness is a mindset and it's a state of being. And not that every day we're in that state, but I think it's very different in how we look at what controls our happiness, because we are in full control of it versus what things that make us happy. So I wanted to really level set that. The other thing I wanted to talk about before we dive into this topic is just this phenomenon that we are seeing with leaders right now. And I actually pulled some stats from a study about where leaders, specifically kind of C-suite executive leaders, are spending their time. And about 36% of their time is spent in meetings, which most of us think that's probably an understatement. 23% is email, phone, any kind of communication. About 12% of our time is spent on more strategic things. Then there's a whole mix of kind of smaller percentages, but the one that really stood out to me is 1.8% of our time. If you think about a 40-hour work week, which none of us actually work, it's more than that. 1.8% of our time is spent on personal development, right? Really figuring out ourselves and how we can get better, how we can evolve. So our happiness is directly correlated to that as well. So I think there's just a lot here that we can unpack. And what we're going to talk about is a lot about Arthur Brooks. So if you look him up, he is the professor of happiness at Harvard. So Harvard has a curriculum around this that they have their leaders, their future leaders going through, which I think in and of itself is a strong statement for our world today. And that we have, you know, institutions like Harvard that are looking at this and saying, this is a missing component. Mm-hmm. We can teach these leaders domain expertise all day long. And if we can't teach them how to manage their own energy, it's going to be really hard for them to be leaders. So this is what I wanted Chelsea to come on and talk to about, the experience she has with this, just the research she's done on what does this mean? So I want to just start there, Chelsea. Like, what's the high level overview of this happiness factor and how you're seeing it play out?
First of all, I'm so excited to be talking about this topic. I'm sitting here on my hands. Like, I have 1,000 things. I just want to jump in and share all of it with you all right now. I just think this is such an interesting topic. And this is just my personality. When I find something that's interesting to me, I just dig in. I go really deep. I read the book. I get the podcast. I practice it. I talk about it. I journal about it, right? So I'm just really excited about this. And to Jamie's point that, so Arthur Brooks is a professor at Harvard. He is a professor in leadership and happiness.
Love it.
That is what he is a professor of, leadership and happiness. Not just leadership, not just happiness, the combination of the two.
And if that was when I was in college, I'd be signing up for
Oh
that
my gosh,
class.
yes.
Like, absolutely.
He is a leadership and happiness laboratory. Sign me up. How can I get into this laboratory? I need to go on a visit because I think it's fascinating to me. And then this book that he wrote, he actually wrote it with Oprah on the art and science of getting happier. And so if you listen to the book, it's both of them actually doing the audio. And so Oprah will step in every once in a while and share her thoughts on it, which is just really interesting. And they have very different perspectives and very different personality types, but they really complement each other very nicely. But I think the most important thing to start with, as Jamie had asked me to, is what is happiness? How do you define it? And if you listen to Arthur Brooks's book, he talks about how it is so hard to define happiness. If you ask any person, no one is going to be able to give you a very succinct, concrete answer. They're going to tell you it looks like, it feels like. And his example is, what if you ask someone to describe what a car is to you? And they're like, well, it feels like you're sitting in a seat that's moving, and it has a color to it, right? And so, like, you know how to describe a car because it's an object, it's a thing, and you want to explain it in that way. But happiness is not that concrete.
It's not as tangible.
It's not as tangible.
Right.
And so the way that he describes it is there's really three components that make up happiness. And I really like his description. And it builds, as he talks about this, it builds on years, decades, centuries of research and content around happiness. But he says there's three components: enjoyment, satisfaction, and purpose. And what I really like about this is I always want to make it actionable. What does that mean to me? So I thought about, okay, coming on and doing this podcast, this truly brings happiness to me. And as I thought about that deeply, I was like, okay, but why? How does it bring me enjoyment, satisfaction, and purpose? It brings me enjoyment because I love to share knowledge. I love to bring new ideas and thoughts and concepts to people. So it truly fills me up with that feeling of enjoyment. There's satisfaction to me. I feel like I've ac accomplished something when I'm able to come on and feel not an expert. I would definitely not say an expert, but that I have something to share. There's that level of satisfaction. And then purpose. I truly feel that there is, what's the purpose, the why behind it? There's a lot of why and understanding why we need to bring happiness to leaders because it's going to impact your team, which impacts your organization. And there's so much purpose behind that. And so that's why, just to make it applicable right now, like, this is bringing me happiness. And that's why, because it brings me enjoyment, satisfaction, and purpose.
So I want to share a really simple example. I'm going to dumb this way down. That just happened to me. So I have a coach, and we were talking about joy. And I'm like, joy is a weird word to me because it feels very like jumping around, like joyful rainbows, and And she said, "What makes you feel joy?" And I said, "Being in the kitchen and having my teenagers around, and having them just be cooking and talking and laughing, and I'll find myself sitting and just watching." And so I'm just simplifying this down, even to just day-to-day life stuff. That brings me enjoyment because I'm watching what I've created, right? Just have just fun together. Satisfaction is I get to have them near me. I get to be part of, right, whatever they're doing. And the meaning is like, look at what I've created. Look at the humans, right? And just like, so at a really simple level, it doesn't have to be these magnitude
No.
things that bring us happiness. And oftentimes for the most successful people, it's the simple things.
It is. It is. And what the other main concept that I pulled from this that was a huge light bulb moment is that happiness is not a destination. You never truly reach happiness. And while at the onset of that and thinking through that, you're like, well, that's actually really depressing. Like, really? I can't ever obtain happiness. No, you can't. It is a direction. You can become happier. But no one on this planet can really master
Like
happiness.
I succeeded, I
No,
achieved it.
You're never, no one ever at 100% is going to be happy all the time.
But you can have a moment, a win, something
Yes.
that happens, those small moments, but it's a journey. I love
It's,
that.
yeah, it's a
And that
journey.
has to drive you crazy because you're an achiever.
I am a achiever. I want to be checked out. I want to be the happiest person on this planet. And I try, but you know, the reality is no one can do that, which to me is actually a sense of relief.
Yeah.
Because if no one can master happiness, then stop trying to master happiness. Just try to be happier
In the moment.
in the moment. Be present, be content, be present in the moment. And the more we can do that, the more enjoyment, satisfaction, and purpose we're going to find out of life. And so to me, that was just, like I said, a light bulb moment that just brought so much, it brought it down to earth to me of, okay, I don't have to be happy all the time
So
because it
if we
can't
don't
be.
have to achieve happiness or balance, I might actually be able to be successful.
Right? Right? I know. Here we go. Well, and I think the other thing too is that come to that point is that happiness and unhappiness can coexist at the same
Okay, you
time.
need to dive more into this because I think that in our brains go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can be, let me just repeat it, you can be happy and unhappy at the same time. And so in his book, in our, we did a CEO summit and we did this assessment in the session, and it's called the PANAS assessment. It's the positive affect, negative affect scale. And that is literally saying that you can have aspects of you that are positive and aspects of you that are negative at any given moment. And we might all fall in a different quadrant. He has four different quadrants of what you can be. And so you can be in an area that maybe is higher negative affect, but you still have positive affect within you. And so it's not that you are one or the other. And it's not that every single point of your life you're in that quadrant, right? You're able to move around in there. And sometimes you do have more positive affect than negative affect. Depending on if you're on vacation and you take this assessment, you're going to end up differently than if you are in a stressful work week, your business isn't doing well, you had a really bad Q1, right? Your results are going to end up very differently.
And I think that was interesting. This was one of the first assessments that I think they just came out and said, this can change day to day. It can even change hour to hour
Yes.
based on where your energy, right? Just where you're at and what's happened personally or professionally. Because most assessments we take are really rooted in, they might, 20% might change
Yeah.
based on
But
circumstances, but the
this is who
80% is
you
like who
are.
you are. And I think this is probably flipped. There's probably 20% of who you are, like you're just wired that way, but the rest of it is environmental, right? And circumstantial and what season
Yep.
that you're in.
Yeah. And the value and the reason why we did this with the executive group that we did is because it is so important, to Jamie's point, 1.8% or whatever it is that we spend on self-reflection and understanding where we are at. We don't do enough of that. And so by taking a very simple, and you can Google PANAS, PANAS, and find the assessment and take it yourself
For free,
for
as
free.
many times as you
Yeah.
want.
And I think it's really insightful to know. As any assessment is, I've said this before in this podcast, I'm an assessment junkie. I love taking them, and they all are just one data point of who I am. And this is no different. And this is a data point at any given moment of where are you at? What is your positive affect? What is your negative affect? And how is that impacting you?
Even to one point, I remember an executive in the group that said, you know what? I mean, the assessment takes like 4 minutes. He said, I think I'm going to start having my team take this before our team meeting. Spend 5 minutes before our team meeting and come in and just say, today,
Where are you
here's
at?
where I'm at. So that we can all just be okay with that.
Yep.
It's where you're at, but something you say might just be reflected based on that. And it's also good for us to know what ripple effect we're creating with our energy when we walk
Right.
into the room.
Right. And, you know, some of the cheerleader is one of the components, right? Which is what I am. And there's positives and negatives to being a cheerleader. Right. If we all were cheerleaders at Keystone, like we would never be looking at the things that are going wrong, the areas that we need to improve,
Right.
pressure testing things. Right. So you need all of the different aspects. And at different points, different conversations, you might play a different role. And sometimes, yes, I am a cheerleader, but I have to push myself into being a judge on a regular basis
Right.
because I need to be looking at where can we improve on things and how can I push my clients in different areas. And,
There's not something wrong because you
right.
need to do that, but
No.
it's being aware. And I think the makeup of the team, where do
Yes.
you see that playing in? It's like, what if we had, so we just did this with a client last week. Executive team of six, three mad scientists, three cheerleaders.
Mm.
So they didn't even have the other two.
Yeah.
What would you say to a team like that? I mean, what does that do for your decision making?
Right. And I mean, this again, this is like any assessment that you take. You want people represented in all of the different components of whatever assessment is that you're taking.
Right.
And the PANAS is no different. If you don't have a judge, the judge is the one who is looking at things with that critical eye and saying, what if, and what if we did that, slowing the mad scientists down, right? The mad scientists are coming up with all these crazy ideas. The cheerleaders are cheering them on. Yeah, that's great. Let's do that. And no one is saying, whoa, let's hold the reins back here for a second. Does this make sense? How are we going to do this? Right. And so if you don't have anyone in those seats, you need to ask someone to say, can you play this role?
It's a really good point.
We need someone in this meeting to be the poet or to be the judge. And be able to ask those tough questions and play that role so that we're not going 1,000 miles an hour in the wrong direction.
And we're giving permission to say
Mm-hmm.
someone needs to challenge our thinking
Yep.
instead of you challenging. And then I'm like, why do you? I thought you were on board with me on this. It's
Yep.
just I'm playing the other side to make sure our ideas really sound.
Yeah. And I'll do this with leadership teams in our sessions. I'll say, okay, who, if I know there isn't a contrarian in the room, I will say, okay, who's playing the contrarian today? We need someone to be that person that is going to say, yeah, but, right? As we're getting down the line here and we're making decisions and move things forward, someone has to be able to say, what if this were to happen? Or have we thought about that? Or poke holes in things. And it's important to have that role. And sometimes no one wants to do it. But if you give them permission ahead of time
Right.
and there's an expectation that you do this, people view it in a much different light.
So, how do these four different types? So, tying it back, because for some people listening, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Like, these are personality types, and now you're talking about happiness. If I'm a mad scientist, right? You're a cheerleader. How does that actually affect, going back to enjoyment, satisfaction, and meaning? How does it tie back and tell us maybe how we show up or where we burn out, right? All of those things, because it affects our day to day.
So with a mad scientist, that means that you have high highs and you have low lows.
Yes,
Right?
accurate.
See, senor. So that means that you have a lot of happiness and a lot of unhappiness. And it's very visible, right? For the mad scientist. And so it's easy for you to go in between the two, but then recognizing what does that do to the team around you when you're bringing them on that high, low, low.
And we've worked together long enough, you know this, but taking this, it was not a surprise to me
Right.
because I've shared very vulnerably that I know I'm conscious of my energy. I don't think I've mastered controlling it and
Yeah.
right and changing it fast enough. But I know the days I walk in here, even my family, some days when I get home from work, I'm very aware that they're like, how did her day go? What kind of night, right? Like, how's mom feeling? Because of the high highs and the low lows. And it's managing it. It's not that there's something broken because I think there's also value in each of these four types and what they bring to the table.
So then you flip over to the cheerleader, which is what I am, and yes, lots of advantages of being a cheerleader, encouraging the team, looking on the bright side of things, being optimistic, right? But then there's not a lot, depending where you're at on the scale, but for me, there's not a lot of the negative emotions that I feel. And that is in one thing that that Arthur Brooks talks about in his book is the difference also between, oh, how does he say that? He talks about the differences between optimism and hope. And I think with a cheerleader, it's often just pure optimism. It is glass half full, things are going to be great. So it goes back to we've all heard it, the Stockdale paradox, right? Those that had optimism were the one, and this is in the Nazi camps, those were the ones that, oh, we'll get out by Christmas. Well, Christmas comes and goes and they didn't get out. Oh, we'll get out by Easter. Easter comes and goes, and we didn't get out, right? So the optimism then starts to fade, and they literally, those are the people who would die because all they had was optimism. Where hope
Is very
is
deeper.
much deeper. It's yes, you believe that we're going to get out at some point, but you're also confronting the brutal facts and the reality of where we are at today and today's into whatever those brutal facts might be, the brutal realities of today. But then you are also, and this is the most important thing, you are acting to do something to make it happen. Where optimism is it's just pure blind. optimism, right? Oh, it'll all be okay, but you're not actually doing anything to
So
make it better.
parlay that to we're at the end of Q2, entering, whenever this goes out, Q or we're at, sorry, with the beginning of Q2, end of Q1. This happens in companies. We didn't hit Q1. We'll be good. We're fine, but we don't do anything different. Where the hope is, we're fine, but we need to probably make some
We
course
need to
corrections
act.
and we need to do some things that might be hard, but we're still fine.
Yes.
There's still a level of like positivity, right,
Yep.
in it, but it's a very, that's a great example of what we see happen all the time in leadership teams.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's really about the action. And that's a theme, as I have 7 pages of notes from that I've taken from the book and the assessment and all these things. And one of the other things that I had pulled out that I thought was really impactful, and this impacts our happiness, is empathy versus compassion. And the difference between those two. So empathy is that you are taking on others' feelings. And which is great, right? We talk about emotional intelligence and being able to understand where people are coming from,
Sit in their seat.
sit in their seat, which is great. But if you do that too often, then you are taking on all of their emotions and all of their feelings, and just you're then you start feeling that way too.
So I would guess, because I am that a mad scientist probably tends to be more empathetic versus compassionate because that's some of the highs and lows come from other people and other
Exactly.
external circumstances versus my own.
Exactly. But then compassion is recognizing others' feelings, not taking them on as your own. And what are we going to do to act on this? What can we do to move this forward? And so that action word
I
is
love
what kept
it.
coming up to me in how do you create happiness? Well, you can't just sit and wait for it to come to you, because that's not going to happen. Sure, from time to time something might fall in your lap, but for the most part, you need to take ownership of this. Right? And I say this, any leader who I've ever been in front of has probably heard me say, you can't point the fingers at others. You need to point the thumb back at yourself and say, what do I need to do? How do I create enjoyment, satisfaction, and purpose in my life? What are the things that I can take control of with hope, with compassion, and make some actions to move things forward?
So this word you just said, I was thinking of it even before you said it, was control. Because I think a huge piece of our happiness is feeling like even in business, when there are things that seemingly feel out of our control, where can we take control back? And you and I both have had conversations with leadership teams that would blame economics circumstances and but when you actually force them through the exercises that we do, they're like, man, there's more in our control than we realized. And guess what? Happiness and energy go up when you feel like you have that control.
Yeah, you have a plan in place.
Right.
Yeah, maybe
That's
things
it.
aren't going down the tank right now, but guess what? Here's our plan to get out of it.
And to control what we can control. It's just fascinating how this is all tied
I
together.
know. I think it is so interesting too. And I think the other thing that I really pulled from this about happiness and how does this impact, how does this really relate to leadership, is that, well, from a compassion standpoint, number one, how do we feel compassion towards our coworkers, towards our fellow leaders on leadership team, towards our employees, towards our customers? But it really starts with us and putting on our own air mask first and feeling compassion for ourselves. And what I mean by that is that we are recognizing that, there's maybe some things that we don't feel good about, we're feeling bad about, that we're not happy with ourselves or where things are going. But what are we going to do about it? Again, it comes back to that action. And so I think as leaders, we need to make sure that we are taking that initiative to have self-reflection and then do something about it and not sit and wallow in all the things that are bad, but start thinking about, okay, yes, these things are bad. What can I do about it?
I was just looking up on LinkedIn and someone had just posted a quote, and it relates to this. It's kind of on the flip side. But when you finally learn that a person's behavior has more to do with their own internal struggle than you learn grace.
Yes.
I also think that applies for ourselves, right? But that idea of when I can understand, when leadership teams can understand each other's panis and happiness and know, okay, Jamie's not, it's not about me. It's about Jamie's on the mad scientist roller coaster right now. And now I have grace for her because That's probably not fun some
Yeah.
days,
Yeah.
right? Imagine how that just completely shifts the trust of a leadership
Absolutely.
team.
Absolutely. The trust, the cohesion, the support, right? And we've said a million times that leaders are the lid of the organization. And the stronger that executive leadership team is, the stronger your organization is going to be. It starts with understanding yourself. It starts with understanding others. And how can we bring more of this happiness to ourselves, which is going to bring it to others.
Totally. So for a leader that's like, yes, right? Outside the reading the book and recommend that there's nothing in it for us. We're just kind of introducing these. How can you distill it down? And if it's like, where do I start? What's one simple thing you would say to leaders to just say, start here?
So I would say take the definition of happiness, which is enjoyment, satisfaction, and purpose. And what would you think of those as three pillars of happiness? What would you put underneath each of those for yourself right now?
What parts of your
What
life,
parts of your
business,
life bring you
personal?
enjoyment? What brings you satisfaction? What brings you purpose? We all have those things. A lot of times we take them for granted. And I think, one of the things I've been doing, I think you gave us the gratitude journal, the 5-minute gratitude journal, which is amazing. And so every morning you're writing down things that you're grateful for. And then at the end of the night, you're writing down what are the three things that went really well today. And I think in doing that, you do it enough days in a row. Like you have to get beyond like, oh, my kids, oh, a great bed. Oh, I had, you know what I mean? Like you got to really start thinking about, well, what are some other things that I am grateful for? What are some things that went really well today? And when you really think about it, you really take time, there's so much there. There's so much there.
But it's the power of reflection, is it's not going to happen when you're falling into bed checking emails and you've been running 150 miles an hour all day.
Yeah.
We don't stop to reflect and pay attention to what's going on around us, to pay attention to those things that are sucking our
Yeah.
energy and our happiness.
Yeah.
Because I also think a lot of us allow things to hang out,
Yep. Longer than they should.
people and situations or issues, and they affect this. They affect our happiness. So really put those buckets. It's as simple as grabbing a sheet of paper
Yeah.
and put them in buckets.
Take 15, 20 minutes. Go outside. Like that is the. Some other book I read, I couldn't quote it right now, but it talks about how we learn best in our minds are able to expand more when our literal ceiling is bigger. So if you can't go outside, go in like a vaulted ceiling area. If you're in a building and there's like a big open entry area, it's better than being in your office for thinking.
So true.
And the best option is to be outside. So it's a little thing, but it makes a really big difference. Go outside. It's finally sunny and nice, right? Go outside, take 15 minutes. And just write down your buckets.
That's why so many leaders, right, would talk about a run is where they have some of their biggest clarity, right? Or a walk in nature or something else, like on vacation because you're at the beach and it's like all of a sudden it's because of that. There's some kind of impact that it has on you. I love that. Anything else that we didn't touch on that you would kind of share to say, again, how can it's a journey. I love, let's go back to the fact you're not
It's not a
broken.
destination.
You're not broken because you don't feel happy right now, right? It's just this awareness that it's something to strive for on a day-to-day basis in the simple things.
Become happier, not happy. Don't have the expectation that you're going to be happy every day, all day. No one can do that. So stop trying to live up to that expectation and look at it from your own perspective. And what does it mean for you to be happier? Don't compare it to me. Don't compare it to Jamie. Don't compare it to your husband or wife or kids, right? What does it mean for you to be? And I love just the concept of 1% happier. What does that look like? Start there rather than, oh, everything in my life has to. No, that's not reality. 1% happier. What can you do?
I love this so much, and it's not often that I get to have a member of my team on the podcast, but the other thing to think about is this concept, share this podcast with your team, with your spouse, with a friend that you know is maybe struggling right now. And the other thing is let's have like reach out to Chelsea because having a conversation about how we could have this conversation with your team, how we could give you what you need to have this conversation, that is impact for us.
Absolutely.
That's happiness for our
Yes,
team,
100%.
knowing that we can have impacts on leadership teams like that. Thank you for taking the time to have this
Yeah.
conversation. I can honestly say this conversation made me happier. So that's a really good thing. I love that. Not everything I do every day does that. So we succeeded here. I hope we also had that impact for you. We're grateful for this community. We're grateful for you guys continuing to engage and send us notes about the content and what this podcast is doing, because we can't continue doing it. I can't continue doing it without knowing that it's having that kind of impact. So I'm hoping this topic does the same for all of you. Thanks. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure and hit that subscribe button so you get the latest episodes as soon as we release them. And remember to keep maximizing your unique leadership superpowers. It truly is the key to building success, both in your career and in life.